with any further ado, the Kavod HaRav.
It's now before the period, right before the 3 weeks. I think it's important to discuss fundamental in Yiddishkeit in general, particularly in the Indian of Golis. At the end of the Teichacha, Vayikra, it says at the end of the Teichacha, if the HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows in great detail all the Yisurim, Rachmana Letzlan, he's going to bring on to Klal Yisrael for the Averis that they did. The Potzik says, V'af gam zois, b'yoysim be'eretz oyveyem, even this, with all the problems and all the challenges and the tragedies that I'm going to bring on Klal Yisrael, when they're going to be be'eretz oyveyem in their enemy territory, loy ma'astim, I don't abhor them, I'm not disgusted from them, v'loy ga'altim, and I don't reject Klal Yisrael, l'chaloysam, to wipe them out, to obliterate them, l'hafe brisi itam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if the entire Teichacha, you should know that it's not out of hatred, it's not that I'm disgusted with Klal Yisrael, I don't despise Klal Yisrael. That's not the purpose of the Teichacha. One thinks that we suffered this very long, bitter galus, is that Kilu Chas V'Sham HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like us, he hates us. That's 100% not true. The Pasuk saying clearly, on the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and because of that love, that's why he had to bring us into galus. He brought us into Golis because it was there's a te'elis, we gained, there's a benefit that we're going to have in being in Golis. We could no longer exist in Eretz Yisrael. We could no longer exist with a Beis HaMikdash. And that's why he brought us into Golis. But from his end, he loves us. From his perspective, he loves us just the same as if we were in Eretz Yisrael. That didn't change. His love for us never changed. If you're medayik in the psukim, if you look, you see that it's really the way the Teichacha starts and the way the Teichacha ends, sort of davar v'hifuchai. It starts off, it's parallel to each other. I'll say over the pasuk, the beginning of the Teichacha, it says v'im b'chukaisai tim'asu, v'im my laws they abhor. If Klal Yisrael doesn't discuss, they discuss it from the laws, from the Torah that I gave. V'mes mishpatai tigal nafsham, and they reject my mishpatim. Levulti asay says kol mitzvah asay, they totally wipe out all my mitzvahs. They totally ignore all my mitzvahs. Lahafrachem es brisi, and they broke the bris that I have with them. If you look at the pasuk, it's an amazing thing. You look at one pasuk and look at the end, you'll see that one is parallel to the other. The exact same words as what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says at the end of Teichacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of the Teichacha says, Loi ma'astim, I don't abhor them, I don't abhor you. And the beginning of the Teichacha says, B'chukosai tim asu ma'astim, it's the exact same thing. And then it continues, Loi ga'altim, I didn't reject you, yet at the beginning, Mishpatei tigal nafshechem, you rejected my mishpatim. L'chaloysam, to wipe you out, means a total obliteration. And that was, you did that to me. Levilte Yassah says, kol mitzvah, you totally wipe me out, like as if I don't exist. L'hafer es brisi itam, and on the parallel is on your end, l'hafer chem es brisi, but you broke my covenant. What you see in the Teichacha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us very clearly that the strained relationship that we have with Hashem during the Galus period has nothing to do with Hashem. From his perspective, it's as if we were still in Eretz Yisrael. His love for us didn't diminish. It's the exact same thing. The reason why our relationship is strained is because of us. Our perspective changed. We decided to abhor his halachas, to reject them, to obliterate them, to break his covenant. That's the problem. The problem is from our end. It had nothing to do with Hashem. It's important you say that Hashem's Ava for us is just as full and just as complete as it always was. It would be like a mashal, a father has Nebuch, a wayward child in his house, a problem, or call it a teen at risk, or already beyond risk, over the cliff teenager. It got to the point that it's wreaking havoc in the home, wreaking havoc on the siblings. It's really, in a way, causing constant strain to the relationship to the parents, that I got to the point there was no other option but to ask the son to leave the house. Now, when the son left the house, the son was so fed up and didn't attribute the problem to himself that he refused ever to call his father. He refused ever to communicate with his father. And his father, every from time to time, would call him on his cell phone, see how he's doing, and he would refuse to pick up. He wiped out, totally ignored, as if his father doesn't exist. Such a story, we see that it's nothing to do with the father. The father loves the child. The father had no choice. The father was trying to help out the child and did something perhaps extreme that maybe the child will wake up and learn the hard way how to straighten out. But from the father's end, he still loves the child and cares for the child and is following the child and would like to know what's doing with the child. It's the child who refuses to make that communication with the father. Hashem had to throw us out. He had to exile us. He had to put us into galus for our own benefit. But the lines of communication are open, and he still loves us just the same. It's we have the problem. We're strained that we don't appreciate his halachas. We don't appreciate his Torah. We don't appreciate his existence in our lives the way we're supposed to. That's the strained relationship. It has nothing to do with him. His love for us is so infinite. It's really, the term says, it's beyond our hasaga. We cannot comprehend how deep and how profound his love for us is. And from Hashem's perspective, ani Hashem lo shiniti, I didn't change. My hanhaga with you is the same. I love you just the same. If you would wake up and realize what went on, you realize and appreciate the love that I still have for you, then you'll come back and everything will be like it was with the Beis HaMikdash being kaim b'mehir yameinu. It's a yesod in Yiddishkeit that Hashem loves us profoundly even in the galus. And what I would like to do today is to go through the sugyas that I believe that you prepared, just when we start peeling away the layers of the sugyas beneath the surface, we get a glimpse of how profound that Ahava really is to us. I think as a hakdama, just to set a few history straight, just a little piece of information that we need, is that Klal Yisrael was subjected to four galuyos. They were exiled in four nations, four different periods. There are only four galuyos. There will only be four galuyos. And we happen to be right now in the last galus. The four galuyos is, the first one was Bavel, right after the period of Bayis Rishon, after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we went to Bavel. Then shortly thereafter, the second was Madai, the story with Esther, with the Megillah, that's the second. Then the third was Yavon, which actually took place during the second Beis HaMikdash, but still was, as we're going to see, was still from the Chataim that they did during the first Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash. And then finally, the last Galus we're in is Galus Edom. So there's Bavel, Madai, Yavon, and Edom. The Babylonians, Madai, maybe the, however you want to call it, the Persians, I'm not sure, but Yavin is the Greeks, and then Edom is Zarish al Esav, which is the Romans, the Christians. That's where we're in right now. Let's do this Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara that I believe that you already saw, and we're going to go through the Gemara We'll get the basics from the Gemara, and then we'll go deeper into the Gemara. The Gemara says like this, on this pasuk that I started with, the end of the Teichacha, where the pasuk says, Lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chaloysam l'afa brisi itam, the Gemara says like this, that these four l'shaynis, these four Lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chaloysam l'afa brisi itam, each one is parallel to another galus period that we were subjected to. And the Gemara says, Lo ma'astim was b'mei kasdim, that was at the time of the Babylonians, she'amadati lehem Daniel Chananya Mishav Azariah. I did not abhor Klal Yisrael. Why? Because I gave them leaders like Daniel, Chananya, Mishael, Azariah. V'loi ga'altim, and I did not reject them b'mei Yevonim during the times of the Greeks. Shemadeti lehem, because I gave them leaders like Shimon HaTzadik. He was a Kohen Gadol, a Tzadik. He was called Shimon HaTzadik. He was a big Tzadik. V'chashmonoi obonav matasyoh kohani gedolim. I gave them these Kohanim Gedolim during the period of the Yevonim. They were the leaders of Klal Yisrael, so you see that I did not forsake them. I gave them the leaders even in this trying period. L'chaloysam, I did not obliterate them. B'mei Haman, during the times of Haman, Shemadit Ilem Mordechai v'Esther, I gave them the rulers, the leaders of Mordechai and Esther. L'hafe brisi itam, and I did not break the covenant I had with them. B'mei Parsiyim, that's the times of the Romans, this last final period, Shemadeti Lehem Shal Beis Rebbe, I left over, I gave them the dynasty of Rebbe, that's Malchus Beis David, Rebbe with the Nesiyim, I gave over that dynasty of the Nesiyim, V'chach Meidoyres, and the leaders and the Gedolim of every generation. On the surface, what the Gemara is trying to tell us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't forsake us in each period, because in every single period, He gave us Gedolim Manhigim to rule us. He didn't forsake us as if to ignore us, as if we don't exist, to just abandon us, to throw us out. Even amongst Be'eretz Oyveim, even in this Galus, even in this exile, He gave us leaders, Manhigim, to direct us. That's the simple pshat of the Gemara. But Rabbeisai, the Gemara is really trying to tell us something so deep and so profound. It's like everything, every Gemara, is, as we know, there's a simple reading of the Gemara, and as you delve deeper into the Gemara, all of a sudden you uncover Yisaidis and Svaris and Gevaldik Azachim, which are buried deep inside the Gemaras. And this Gemara is no different. Agadata is no different. In fact, it might be even more so by Agadata, that Chazal decided to package things in a story that should be easily understood, but really it's alluding to something very deep. And for that we need the Gedolim to interpret the Gemara. And I'm going to share with you today an amazing maral, how he teaches this Gemara. But before we get to that, we have to first get to another Yesod. And that's the other Gemara, that Gemara is in Yuma, Daf Tes Amid Beis. The Gemara establishes that Klal Yisrael did three cardinal Averis by the first Bayis, and one Avera by the second Bayis. By the first Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael had three sins, was Gilui Arayis, Avodah Zarah, and Shvichas Damim. The three cardinal Averis, they committed adultery, incest, they had immoral behavior, that's Gila Arayis, Shvichas Damim, they were murderers, they didn't appreciate the value of a nefesh, of a person. And it was Avodah Zarah, idolatry. Those are three Averis that they committed during Bayis Rishon. And during Bayis Sheni, they had Sinas Chinam. There was lacking in the degree of Ava, of Achdus among Klal Yisrael. There were fights, there was strife, unnecessarily. That was Sinas Chinam. That was their Avera primarily in Bayis Sheni. So you have three Averis during the Bayis Rishon and one Aver during the Bayis Sheni. Zokta Maral, and it's a Maral, the Goyin says it, the Sfasemes, there's many Achreinim who say this. It's an amazing Yisoid.
The
Maral is in Or Chodesh. He has a sefer on Megillas Esther. So in his Agdomo, or the beginning by the Pasuk, that's the Maral. The Sfasemis is in Vayeshev, Shnas Tofresh Memvov. The Goyin is on the Sugya Yuma. There's a many over here. It's in Bukhari's. There's many Mefarshim who say this, and that is as it's not arbitrary. Klai Yisrael did four chetayim, and they were subjected to four galias, and each chet caused a galus. Each chet, this was a yisaidis dika chet, it was a fundamental chet, and each aver that they did warranted another galus. And each galus is tailor-made specifically as a punishment and as a challenge to the chet that they did. And here's the explanation. Let's go through it. They did a chet of avodah zarah, idolatry. For that, they had to be subjected to galus bavel. What was galus bavel? Galus bavel, if you look in Daniel, you'll see that galus bavel is that Nebuchadnezzar forced Klal Yisrael to worship avodah zarah. He set up a tzelem, an idol, in Bikas Dura, in the valley of Dura. He set up an idol, and he forced Klal Yisrael to bow down to that idol. He coerced Klal Yisrael to worship avodah zarah. They did the chet of avodah zarah during Bayis Rishon, and therefore, as an einish, they had to be subjected to, be forced to do idolatry, and to overcome that challenge. And when they overcome that challenge, they'll get out of galus bavel. That was the tikkun. That's how they're going to fix their avera that they did. The second avera that Klal Yisrael did was shvichas damim. They were murderers. They killed. They didn't appreciate the value of life. For that, he subjected them to the galus of Madai, of Haman. What was the galus of Haman? What was the gzeira of Haman? Lahashmid v'laroi gulabit is kol ha'yudim. You don't appreciate the value of life. You are murderers. We're going to teach you a lesson. We are going to murder you. Lashmid v'laroi gula'abed is kol ha'yehudim, rachmana litzlan. The pasuk says, Shefik dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafek. If a person is a murderer, his einish is to be killed, to be spilled just like he murdered others. That was the einish they were subjected to. They were subjected to the gzera of Haman to be murdered because of the chet that they did of shvichas damim. The third chet was Gilei Arayis. For that, they were subjected to the Golas of Yavon. Now, the Golas of Yavon varied. They had many Xeris. But what was the side of the Golas? The fundamental, you need the morale and others to touch this up. But what was the source? What was the essence of Yavon? The essence of Yavon was Gilei Arayis. They elevated and they gave primary importance to the guf altogether. That was Yavin's philosophy about strong, the whole Olympics, all the shtusim are from Yavin. Sports, it all comes from Yavin, as if there's something important about a guf, about the human body. And on a deeper level, it was Gilei Arayis. They valued guf, they valued bodies, they had an appreciation towards Gilei Arayis. And the gzeira that they did to Klal Yisrael was, Rashi brings it down in Shabbos, the gzeira was, is that every single basula, every single girl, right before she got married, had to be mezana with the mayor of the city. It means the mayor of the city had to have relations with her before she was able to enter a chuppah. It was forced Gilei Arayis. Klal Yisrael, you were chayte, you did an avera Gilei Arayis. Well, now you're going to be subjected against your wishes to Gilei Arayis. There's not going to be an exception. Every single girl is going to be subjected to Gilei Arayis. That was their challenge, to stand up to Gilei Arayis. That was the third chet. And finally, the fourth chet was Sinas Chinam. Well, for Sinas Chinam, that is the fourth and final galus, which is galus Edom, right? We are right now in the fourth galus, the galus of Rome. Zerah, it's the descendants of Esav HaRasha. What is the midah of Esav HaRasha? His midah is sinah. His midah is, Chazal say, Amr Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, halacha, it's a fact. Be you do it, it's well known. She'esav seinei es Yaakov. Esav hates Yaakov for no reason. Doesn't need a reason. It's a halacha. It's a fact. We don't need a reason. We want to give an excuse. We'll get you an excuse why. But it's a fact. In the essence, in the fabric of Esav, he hates Yaakov. And because you, Klal Yisrael, did sinas chinam during the Bayis Sheni, you're going to be subjected to galus adon. You're going to be subjected to this galus of sinas chinam. They're going to hate you against you. You hated others, well, you're going to feel what it means to be hated. You're going to have hatred. You're going to have sinas chinam, anti-Semitism, at every step of the way. And you're going to feel it. And you're going to learn from it. And you're going to improve yourself. Those were the four Goliaths. Each one is parallel to a different chet that Klal Yisrael did. It was an exact cheshbon, midah keneged midah. Knowing this, now let's go back to the Gemara Megillah. Zok the Maral, and a fascinating pshat in the Gemara. What the Gemara is telling you, when the Gemara says that I set you up all these leaders, is not arbitrary leaders, not that I just set you up with leaders. I set you up with Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. I set you up with Mordechai and Esther. That means, as if it was arbitrary, so Mordechai and Esther could have been in the period perhaps of Bavel instead of at the period of Mordechai, and Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah could happen now instead of then. No. It was tailor-made. I set you up with the leaders that are going to get you out of the gullus. I'm going to give you the tools and the instruments to get you out of here. I'm not throwing you and abandoning you into a gullus for good. I'm going to set you up with the leaders that know how to rise to the challenge of the essence of that gullus and fix the gullus, overcome the challenge, and get you out of that gullus. Let's go one by one. The Gemara says, I'm going to give you Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. By Bavel, that first Golis, I'm going to give you Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Well, knowing Nach, what happened? Bavel, remember, Bavel's the challenge, the Einish for Avodah Zarah, for idolatry. What happened during Bavel? He set up this Tzelem in Bikas Dura, and he forced Klal Yisrael to bow down to this Tzelem. And who stood up to Nebuchadnezzar? Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. And what happened because they stood up to Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar made a decree, they're going to be thrown into a fire, a kifshon ha'esh. They're going to be thrown into fire to be burnt alive for refusing to bow down. And what happened? He threw them into the fire, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a malach, and it was a fourth being, we'll call it a malach, an amar of a malach with them in the fire that actually saved them and actually burned the people who threw them into the fire. And the next happened, the Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah came out unscathed. They came out, no problem, not burnt. And it was a nes that caused Nebuchadnezzar to be moida that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elokim. He was moida that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and above all Getchkes, above all gods. The Medrash says, just to fear us this much, the Medrash says, at the time, the Medrash in Shir Hashim, at the time that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah jumped into the Kifshon Ha'esh, with that Maisa that they did, the Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah was killed, was destroyed. We don't have a Yetzahara for Avodah Zarah. And the reason is, we owe it to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. When they jumped into the Kifshon Ha'esh, when they refused to bow down, the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah was killed. That was the tikkun, the fix, to Golas Bavel. Golas Bavel's essence was Avodah Zarah. They fixed Golas Bavel, and with that ended the exile of Bavel. Yeah, it's a good question. It's not for now. If to know how that worked, it's true. But that's the measure. We'll maybe afterwards we'll discuss it. Fine. So it wasn't arbitrary leaders. I didn't set you up as great as Rav Moshe Feinstein was. I didn't give you Rav Moshe during Golas Bavel. I gave you Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, because it was those four in particular who stood up to Nebuchadnezzar and got us out of Golas Bavel. The second Golas was Golas Madai by the time of Esther, Haman. The Gzeir was Shvichas Domin. Who did I give you? I gave you Amadati Lahem, Mordechai ve Esther. It wasn't just arbitrary leaders. Mordechai ve Esther were the ones who stood up to the Haman. They were ones who rallied the people to do tshuva. They're the ones who stood up to the Gzeira and ended up, Baruch Hashem, annulling the Gzeira. They wiped out the decree, and Baruch Hashem, we're here today, and we weren't obliterated. We owe it to them that we were not totally obliterated. They're the ones, the essence of Mordechai on a deeper level. The Maharal explains that Mordechai's essence, because I'll say Mordechai is merumis in the Torah, is mori dachya. It was the keteris, the sense of the keteris offering. Keteris stands up to magefa, to nisa. As we know, the Aaron HaKohen brought the keteris to stop the magefa. Keteris is the antithesis to ritzicha. I set you up with Mordechai because Mordechai's essence is the opposite of shvichas domem, of murder. He is the one who has the ability to get us out of galus mordechai. He's the one who was able to rise to the challenge to stand up against shvichas domem and to be mesaken and fix the problem of shvichas domem. And that's how we got out of galus bavel. I'm sorry, a Golas Monai. We got out of Golas Monai because of Mordechai ve Esther. The third Golas is Golas Yovin. Hemaditi lahem Shimon HaTzadik and the Chashmonaim, Matisyoi Kohen Gadol. I set you up with the Chashmonaim, the Kohanim Gedolim. What was the third Golas? Like we said, the third Golas was Yovin. Yovin was Gilui Arois. Gilui Arois, immoral behavior, is the opposite of Kedusha. Because I'll say every time you find in the Torah the Inyan of Gilui Arayis, you'll find right next to it the Inyan of Kedusha to make a balance. Kedusha could offset Gilui Arayis. If you have to think, who's the most Kaddish Dika person Klal Yisrael has? It's the Kohen Gadol. He is the one and the only one who has the right to enter Lefnai Olefnim in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim were all together, Prushim, and the Kohen Gadol was the epitome, the spitz of Kedusha. Hemaditi lahem Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol who lived during Bayis Sheni. One of the Kohanim Gadolim lived during Bayis Sheni, who was the Tzadik. He was known for his tzidkus as being a Kohen Gadol. The Gemara talks about all the nisim that happened in Beis HaMikdash while he was a Kohen Gadol. Hemaditi lahem Shimon HaTzadik. I set you up, not arbitrary leaders, I set you up with the Kohanim Gedolim during this dark period to rise to the challenge of Gilui Arayis against Yavin and to overcome that challenge, and that's how we'll get out of the Golas Yavin. And Kachava, how did we get out of Golas Yavin? Chashmonaim were the ones who got us out of Golas Yavin. They're ones who rise to the challenge and wage the war. Their schus of Kedusha fought the tumma of Gilui Arayis. And finally, who's getting out of, who did I set you up with this last galus? I set you up with Beis Rebbe, the Chachmi called Dor V'Dor. Sinas Chinam, the root of Sinas Chinam, the absence of Shalom, I'm going to set you up with Malchus Beis Dor, which is altogether what brings in Mashiach, which is the epitome of Shalom, right? Because we know all wars will be battle then. And I set you up with a Chachmi called Avodar, because Tamidei Chachamim are marbim Shalom ba'olam. Tamidei Chachamim have the ability to increase Shalom ba'olam, to show and demonstrate to the people how to live in harmony, how to have Avos Yisrael. And those are the Gedolim that I'm going to set you up in this final Golas, the ones that exude Avos Yisrael, the ones that understand what it means to be a Yid, what it means to love a Yid. That's what I'm going to set you up in this final Golas. It's not arbitrary leaders, but it's the leaders to get us out of the Golas, to offset the challenges of this Golas. That's what Chazal is telling us. I didn't forsake you, because in the Golas that I sent you, I gave you the leaders to get you out of that Golas, to teach you to overcome the Golas, to overcome the chatoim that you got you into the Golas in the first place. That's what the Gemara is saying. Hashem in his Ava for us set us up at the same time that he set us up with the problem, he also gave us the tools to get us out of that realm. I want to take this Gemara even one step further, just a bit deeper. Look, there's a simple question on the Gemara. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have Ava for us. Yes, you gave us the leaders to get us out of the Golas. The leaders that are tailor-made to the Einish, to the essence of the Golas. Yes. But it's been a long time. Golas Bavel was a while till we got out of Golas Bavel. Madai was a while till we got out of Madai. Yavin was a while till we got out of Yavin. And now Edom is a very long time till we get out of it. So yes, eventually you got us out of the Golas. But what happened to the whole middle? The whole beginning and middle of that Golas, you forsake, you just abandoned us. What happened then? What's the Gemara saying? I didn't abandon you because I gave you these leaders to get out. Shkoyach. But what happened till these leaders came on the map? What happened then? You abandoned us at the beginning. What's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is trying to say that he didn't abandon us. Doesn't mean he didn't abandon us forever and eventually got us out of the Golas. The Gemara L'chayr is trying to say that he didn't abandon us at all. Where do you see that in the Gemara? The Gemara just says that, yes, eventually he set us up with the leaders to get us out. But where do you see that he didn't abandon us at all? And for that I would like to go into, it's important to know what you said, and we'll have an unbelievable appreciation of this Gemara. There was another Gemara, I'm not sure if you got to it or not, but there was another Gemara, and the Gemara was Yeralef on Mebez and Megillah. The Gemara, a point of history, Gemara touches up, Chazal touches up Psukim and Nach. The Gemara says that at the time, at the end of Bayis Rishon, Klal Yisrael was, the Beis HaMikdash were destroyed and they went into exile. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen at one time. It happened in three phases. First, Nebuchadnezzar took Melech Yehoyakim. He took King Yehoyakim and exiled King Yehoyakim. And then, a number of years later, 7 years later, he then took the next Melech of Klal Yisrael. It was the King Yehoyachin. First was Yehoyakim. 7 years later was Yehoyakim and exiled Yehoyachin with another Chelek of Klal Yisrael. And then finally, 11 years after that, was the final exile, where he took Melech Tzidkiyahu, the third king, Melech Yehuda, and exiled him with the rest of Klal Yisrael. So it happened at three stages. First was Melech Yehoyakim, then Yehoyachin, and then Tzidkiyahu. It didn't happen in one shot. And why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu send us into Golus in one shot? Why did it have to be in three stages? And each stage, each king came with some portion of Klal Yisrael with him into Golus. Why didn't it happen in one shot? Now, there are many Ma'amari Chazal why, and of course we don't know all the Chashbainas of Hashem, but at least what we could see and appreciate is that now that we know the Maral, that the Maral says, the Gemara really says, that they did three Chatoim during the first Beis HaMikdash, and each Chet warrants an exile. Each chet deserves a galus. Avodah Zarah deserves galus Bavel. And Shfichas Damim deserves galus Madai. And Gilo Arayis deserves galus Yavin. Each one in its own right deserves a galus. So then, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set us into exile in three stages. Each phase is against a different chet. Yehoyakim went into exile against one chet. Yehoyachin went into exile against the second chet. And finally, Tzidkiyahu went into exile against the third chet. And it actually was in order. Right, the order of the galuses was Bavel, Madai, Yavin, which is Avodah Zarah, Shfichas Damim, Gilui Arayis. And if you look through, if you learn through Nach, and you'll see who went into galus the first phase, who went into Golas the second phase, and who went into Golas the third phase. And you'll see it's exactly parallel to each one. And let's go through it. The beginning of Daniel talks about the first Golas, the first exile, that first phase where Yehoyakim went into Golas. Who went with the Yoyakim into Golis? The Pasuk says, by name, four people who went into Golis together with Yoyakim. And lo and behold, it was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were the manhigim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up that was tailor-made for Golis Bavel, because they have shaykhis to the essence of Golis Bavel. Who went into the second Golis, in the second phase? Who went with Melech Yoyachin, or otherwise known as Melech Yechaniah? The Pasuk in Esther says, when it introduces Mordechai, who was Mordechai? The Pasuk says, you know who Mordechai was? He was the one who was Hegel Mishalayim with the Golis of Yechaniah. He went into Golis in that second phase, at the end of Bayis Rishon, he went into the second phase, because he was the one who had shaykhis to Golis Modai, like the Gemara says. And who went into Golis, that final Golis? Who went out with Golis Tzidkiyahu? The Yishalmi in Taina says, in Perek Dalet Halacha Hey, the Yishalmi says that at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was burned down, there were 80,000 Pirchei Kahuna. There was 80,000 young Kohanim, children, teenagers of Kohanim, hiding in the Beis HaMikdash. And when the Beis HaMikdash was burned down, they, Nebuch, were burned down with the Beis HaMikdash. 80,000 Kohanim, Pirchei Kahuna, were burnt together with the Beis HaMikdash. And one survived. There was a Nes Nigla, that one out of the 80,000 survived. And who was that one? It was Yehoshua. And who was Yehoshua? The Psukim say Yehoshua was the one who built, came with Zerubbabel, and rebuilt, and built Bayis Sheni, and he was the first Kohen Gadol of the second Bayis. And not only was he the first Kohen Gadol, but the Kohanim Gedolim that followed him were his sons and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They were his dynasty. In fact, the Pasuk says, Zechariah Novi asks from Hashem. He made a bakasha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that just like David HaMelech has a dynasty of Malchus, of he is the king of all Malchus based David, of all Malchus. He is now the father, the forefather of all the kings. Zechariah asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Yeshua should be that Av, that forefather of all the Kohanim Gedolim. He was the forefather of all the Kohanim Gedolim. Golis Yavon is Gilei Arayos. And who's going to counter that? The Gemara says, Hemadeti lehem Shimon HaTzadik, who is a Kohen Gadol, u'matasyahu v'chashmonai Kohanim Gedolim, because the Kohanim Gedolim is Kedusha at its fullest. Kedusha to counter Tumah of Gilei Arayos. So who was it? Who was the source? Who was the forefather of all that Kedusha? That was Yehoshua. And he had the Shaykhis, and he went in that final phase, because he has Shaykhis to Golos Yavin. Because that's the one that's going to counter, it's his Zera that's going to counter Golos Yavin. It was parallel, everything was precise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us in three phases, because each phase has to do with its own Golos. Now that we now I just want to just even be mice of one more thing, which is amazing, is that this Kadmainim, the early sources say that the neshama of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, which was that final Melech that went into Golis, shares the same neshama as two people, Shimon HaTzadik and Yehuda Chashmonai. Those are the ones. Hemadati lehem in that Golis Yavin, Shimon HaTzadik, Matisyav HaChashmonai Obonav. That is Golis Yavin, and that's that last phase. That's where Tzidkiyahu went out, and that's where Yeshua Kohen Gadol, the Avi of all the Kohanim Gedolim, went out. Now, once we understand this, now we have a whole new appreciation of the Gemara. Let's go back and understand the Gemara. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Loi ma'astin, loi ga'altum l'chalaisim, I set you up these Gedolim, these manigim, these people are going to get you out of the Golis. I didn't set you up. I didn't give you these manigim later, at a later date. I didn't abandon you for a while until one day, Kivayachal, I woke up and I sent you these. At the onset of each galus, at the very, what we call the root of the galus, the sheresh of the galus, because these three phases that they went out by Bayis Rishon happened well in advance of all the galus. First was Babel, then later on, 50 years later, was Madai, and then like 150 years later or more was galus Yavin. But the root of all these galus came out on these three phases of exile at the end of Bayis Rishon. At the very beginning of exile, when you're going into exile, at your beginning of going into exile, at that root, I already set up in motion the gedolim, the manhigim, who are going to get you out of that galus. It wasn't I changed my mind later. At the very beginning, I set you up. When you went out with your yakim, at that, which was the shoresh for galus bavel, I already set you up with Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azari to get you out of bavel. And when you went in with your yakim, I already set you up with Mordechai to get you out. And when you went out with Yavon, with that last stage, when you were, that's the Shoresh Yavon, I already set you up with all the Kedusha necessary, the Yeshua, the Avir Kedusha of all the Kanam Gdolim to get you out that final, that last Golas of Yavon. And as our understanding, Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always Berei Refua Kodem HaMaki. He creates the healing before the Makkah. Before the Makkah even takes effect, I already set you up with the refuah. I already set you up with the healing, with the tools to get you out of that golus. In other words, I didn't abandon you for even one second. I sent you out, but when I sent you out with the tools at the very beginning to get you out. And Rabbi Yisai, it's not just those three. It's let's go across. It's even the fourth golus. Who got us out of the fourth golus? That's going to be Mirtz Hashem, Beis Rebbe. The Shoshel is the dynasty of David HaMelech, of the Nesiim, and Chachmei Kol Dor V'Dor. As we know, the Gemara in Gittin says, in the Nvav HaMebeis, the Gemara in Gittin says that when he came to destroy Nebuchadnezzar Yisrael, he gave him, okay, you could ask a bakosha, and I'll grant you that bakosha, what do you want? And he said, ten li, give me, who did he ask for, do you remember? He asked for, he wanted Yavna V'Chachameha, Chachmei of the generation, and Shoshalisa of Rabbi Gamliel, the dynasty of Rabbi Gamliel, that's Beis David. I asked for those things, the dynasty of Beis David and the Chachmei Kol Dor V'Dor, the Chachmei Yavna, because that Beis Rebbe, that's the dynasty of Rabbi Gamliel, it's the same dynasty. That's the Beis, same bias. I want that dynasty, I want that bias, and the Chachmei Yavna, because they're going to be the ones who are going to get us out of this final Golas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the very onset of the Golas, already sent out with it the Refuah Kaidim Lamaka to get us out. And I wanted to share the Machshava applied to the next Golas as well. Mitzrayim, which was really the Shoresh of all four Golas combined, really had the same thing. Who got us out of Golas Mitzrayim? Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a man of Yisrael, the Mois, the Isis, it was Nishmas Yisrael. He was the one who got it out of Mitzrayim. Isn't it interesting that precisely while Klai Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu with his Mishpacha, entered Mitzrayim 210 years earlier, punct then, not a moment before, and then a moment after, his mother was born. His mother was born, Bein HaChoymes. If you take it literally, Bein HaChoymes means that while you're walking into the city, you have a choyme, the wall of the city, and while she's in the gateway of the Mitzrayim, she gives birth to the mother of the person who's going to lead us and get us out of Mitzrayim. Not a second did I abandon you. Exactly when you were going in, I already set you up the way to get out. And finally, there's a klolius tikkur. When you look at history in its totality, the source of the Goliath is Mitzrayim, and for that we have all the mini Goliaths, the four, and then all the Nisyanis and the Rois that we have experienced Nebuch throughout the days, which will end with Mashiach. The Medrash says in Bereishis Rabbim, Pei Hei, the Medrash says, when it talks about the Maisa where the Shvatim sent Yosef, started to start the chain of events that Yosef is now going to go down to Mitzrayim, which will be the heralding the Golas to be, where afterwards now they're going to go down to Yosef, and then eventually Yaakov will go down. So it's really like what we'll call the beginning of Galus Mitzrayim, at that very time, what happened? Yehuda went and married Bathsheba and had children and then married Tamar. Zok the Medrash. Now Yehuda was the V of Malchus Beis David. From there came out Malchus Beis David, which is Mashiach ben David. Zok the Medrash. On that, right over there, the Medrash says, the Darshan's a Pasek, it says, Betarim Tachel Yolada. Before you have even the birth pangs to get out of the Golas Yolada, you already have given birth. What does that mean? Zok the Medrash means you already have had the Mashiach been born to get you out of it. Zok the Medrash, Melamed, it's teaching us that Koidim Shel Loinoilad Mishabed Arishin, before the very first Golas even started, before the chain of events that started Mitzrayim, which was the source of all the later Golas throughout history, Kranoilad, it was already born, set into motion, the Goyle Ha'achrin, Mashiach Tzidkenu. I already started the chain of events that Mashiach is going to be born. I already set it up. There's not a second that I'm abandoning you. Never will I let you go. That is what the Gemara is teaching us. The profound Ava that Hashem had, it's not Elohim Ma'astim later on, there was never a second that HaKadosh Baruch Hu let go. He had us, and He's holding on to us, and He loves us throughout the entire period, from the very beginning. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into Golus because He hated us. He loves us. And not only that He loves us, but the reason why He sent us to Golus, not because in spite of His love, it's because of His love, because He found it beneficial for us to go into Golus and fix what we need to fix. That's why He sent us. But Mitzido Yitzbarach, His love for us is the exact same. I would like to finish with another Gemara, just a few more minutes, just to bring this out, this idea, what it means that our Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us. It's a short Gemara. The Gemara says, in Yuma Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, B'shosha Nichnusu Nachrim Leheichal, when the Goyim entered the Heichal, what did they see? Ro, they saw the Kruvim, on top of the Aron of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they saw the Kruvim, or the Kruvim that were painted in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the walls, Mu'urin Zebizeh. They were attached to one another. They were embracing one another. They were entangled one another. As we know, the Kruvim represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klai Yisrael, husband and wife. And they were embraced together. They were not just embraced, they were attached one another. That was at the time of the Churban HaBayis. The Rishonim ask, how could that be? As we know, the Gemara Baba Basim and Daf Tzaditzes of Mir Aleph says, it says, the psukim say that at times the kruvim are facing each other, and at times the kruvim are back to one another. They're not facing each other. And the Gemara says, at the time that the oisin ritzayin yishambakim, at the time that they're keeping the Dvar Hashem, they're keeping Torah and mitzvahs, they're doing the will of Hashem, then the relationship is solid and healthy, and they're looking at each other. And at the time that they're not being oisin ritzayin yishambakim, it's not a healthy relationship, then they're back to another. So Frektri Shadim, L'chayra, clearly, at the time of the Churban HaBayis, is clearly a time when they were not doing the will of Hashem. It has to be, otherwise it wouldn't have been a Churban HaBayis. So at that time, certainly they should have been facing back to another, one another. How come at this time they were facing each other? And not only were they facing each other, they were actually hugging each other. They were embracing each other. They were one with one another. They were holding on to each other as one. How could that be? This time should be the time when they should be back to back and separate. The Mishnah Melech answers in Prashas Rochim, he has a Sefer on Drush and Drash Chav Gimel, he says that yes, they were not being Oisim Ritzayin Hashem Mokam, and yes, it should have been a time that they should have been back to back to one another. But precisely at this time that they were going into Golas, precisely at the Churban HaBayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu grabs onto Klai Yisrael and hugs Klai Yisrael and embraces Klai Yisrael more than ever before, to show His love for Klai Yisrael, to demonstrate that you're going into galus. Yes, there's a churban, but not because I hate you, but because I love you. Because I love you, I'm holding on to you. I'm going to go hold on to you, an embrace that's going to be everlasting. It's going to be an embrace that's going to last throughout the galus. It's going to be one. We are now going to be attached to one another. I am not going to let you go. Not even for a second. It's precisely at that point HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows His profound love. A love that we can't even understand for us. That's what He's showing us. Precisely at that moment. That is the inyan of Golis. To be Messiah, if we'll have that appreciation, the Zayar says in Shemois, that when we'll realize how profound the love of Hashem is for us, even in Golis, and how the cause of the Golis happens, and why we're in Golis, and that Hashem is with us throughout the Golis, when we appreciate and realize that love, that will cause us to turn back to Him, to fix our ways, to be an Eved Hashem, to be an Eisen Ritzayin Hashem Malkom, to get us out of the Golis, and we should be Zeicha to Mashiach Tzidkenu B'meir V'yameinu Amen.
For other shiurim by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.